Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Welcome back on a Misery Monday presented by Chenega Miles, the 2025 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com. Talking about the Commanders' four straight loss. Jaden Daniels being injured, dislocates his elbow. Let's play cut one. This is Coach Quinn after the game talking about whether he considered taking Jaden Daniels out.
All right, give me one second.
He might need a second.
He sounded dismal when I was listening to it.
I told you a few weeks ago there's some wind taken out of Dan Quinn's sails.
Yeah, well, when you lose Jaden Daniels, you definitely lose some wind.
You can make the argument.
Are you backpatting? You predicted 12 wins this year.
Of course I'm backpatting. How many did you predict? 10 or 11?
10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's not act like you predicted 6 or 7.
Honestly, it doesn't feel any different.
You can't predict injuries.
It doesn't feel any different than when Ron was here than when Dan Snyder was the owner. I don't care what anybody says. It doesn't feel any
different. You mean this year, yeah.
No, like,
times you sit up here and after a bad loss, you say what just happened, and I don't have to ask that question. I know exactly what happened, and started right from the very beginning. First offensive series, penalty, knocked us back out. First defensive series, penalty, that's how we started. And we killed our momentum to have that. You see the entire team, you know, on a knee, circling up on Jaden, and who's on the ground after, you know, his injury. So the update on him is he does have a left elbow injury. I'll update you more once I know more, but that's what I know tonight. But what I can say is I can speak for every coach and player, and just unacceptable performance by us tonight. And told the team, we the one dug the hole, we the ones that dig it out. The solutions are from within, so we missed it by a mile.
All right, that's kind of his bigger picture, and he slid Jaden in here. Here's more specific.
Let me just say this.
Cut
so, hold on. I disagree with him. The answers are not within.
Yeah, you need new personnel. Yeah,
we don't have the answers.
We don't have the answers. We don't have the answers.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Valdez got to get organized with the clips.
Okay.
They need better
they
personnel.
Don't have the
like
answers.
Defensively. Yeah. I was getting into an argument with somebody on Twitter last night. And they were throwing Joe Witt under the bus. That's fine. You can throw Joe Witt under the bus. But, like, the players aren't good enough. I said, name the good players on defense. Mm. Okay? And he goes, Bobby Wagner, Marcus Lattimore, Marshawn Lattimore. I forget who else he threw
penalties
in there. And I was like, okay, Bobby Wagner is a good tackler, but he's not a good overall player right now. Marshawn Lattimore, you know, he's had moments, but overall has been a bust. And just go down the list. Like, name the elite defensive player they have right now.
They don't have one.
Then nobody even approaching elite.
Sam Ristill has regressed. Now, he had an interception in the game. Mm-hmm. Darnold actually made a bonehead decision, rolling left, trying to throw right. Credit Sandra Still for undercutting.
Do you know, I actually woke up this morning thinking about the Sandra Still, and the game was such a disaster that I thought I dreamed it. Because I got in my car and I went,
it's a nice play.
I think Sandra Still had an interception. And I went, well, no, there's no way he did, because he got so burned on the line of scrimmage earlier, and I just don't remember it anymore, so I must have dreamed it.
How about don't celebrate?
I actually thought I dreamed
like
it.
You're up. Does that annoy you when they celebrate?
Yes.
Like when you run down the whole length of the field and everything and celebrate when you're down by four touchdowns?
That's a horrible look.
Yeah, like, I hate that.
On a lesser note, I think Jordan McGee made a tackle when they're getting their asses kicked, and he's celebrating.
Did he do a dance?
I mean, it was
just jumped over the guy.
It was just like, what are we doing here? Like, you gotta read the room a little bit. By the way, my son saved himself watching Jaden's injury in real time because he was so disgusted by the performance at halftime. He got up out of the recliner and said, I'm out. I'm going to my girlfriend's house. I'm done. I'm not watching the rest of the game. I said, okay, you're a grown adult. You can do whatever you want to do. And he actually saved himself from more misery by not watching it
live. All right,
live
let's take some calls. I'm sure people have a lot to say about this one. This was just a disaster. Complete disaster from start to finish.
And I know people think that we like this stuff. We hate this stuff. It's miserable. It's not fun.
Last year was way more
fun. Last year was delightful. This sucks. No one likes it. No one wants to just sit here and crap on the team and talk about how terrible we are. No one likes it.
We are used to it, though.
For selfish reasons.
We're great at it, but no one likes it.
For selfish reasons, too. People tune out when the team stinks.
Mm-hmm. Of course. It's a disaster.
It's not good for anybody.
It's a disaster for the radio station. It's a disaster for for everybody. The NFL is going to have to flex all these games. They're going to have to get them off the schedule. I mean, it's a total disaster.
So they've got one more prime game. If you're not considering, I'm not really considering the Madrid game.
No.
Because that's a 9:30 game.
Yeah.
But they are supposed to play Denver at 8:20. That's a Sunday night, I believe.
That's
on November 30th.
I'm going to guess flexed out of that spot.
Can they flex it?
I don't even know the rules for it. Yeah. Once it gets late in the season, the rules switch up about it. I don't know.
They play on Christmas.
Yeah, they do play.
Commander's going to ruin your Christmas.
But that's a 1 o'clock game. But yeah, you're right.
I don't think you can flex that.
No, because, I don't
think
so.
Can they just flex all the games? Just get rid of all of them?
Just make the games go away.
Yeah, just delete them? That would be nice. All right, let's go to D in PG County. Keep playing that Titanic music. We need to feel the pain. We need the people over in Ashburn to feel the pain. The players, the coaches, everybody. What's up?
Good morning, Junkie.
Hello.
Hi, D. How are you?
This was an OMGG game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world is this?
This is who we are.
I could not believe it. First of all, at first I thought I was watching the Jaden against the other team game. Why is Jaden just, I know he can run, that's one of his, attributions and all that good stuff, but that's not really what he does, okay? Where's the receivers? Jaden running. He was bound to get hurt.
All right, where are the receivers? Let me cut you off right there. We know Terry's out. Then they lose
McCaffrey.
Yep. I mean, I think there are four available receivers. It included Treylon Burks, who they just signed, who's been a bust.
So in that case,
Jalen Lane, who had a terrible fumble in the game. Like, a lot of these things are going to be forgotten because Jaden Daniels is front and center. But point is, he's not working with much.
Exactly. And not only that, that's not what he does. And if he gets hurt, he's done. Like, dislocated elbow?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Honestly, thank you, D. Honestly, it's a blessing that it was his left elbow. A blessing. Because of all the things, the way he was holding his leg before I saw the replay, because the leg was straight. And I thought, oh no, it's another lower body injury. And those are devastating, the leg injuries.
Yeah.
You can only come back from so many of those.
Mm-hmm.
This thing, I mean, he could play with, half an arm with his left. No big deal.
Right, but to our point earlier,
just luck.
Where you and I landed on the same word, coincidentally.
Yeah.
Like, he's fragile.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Glass.
Yeah, it's hard to dispute at this point. A year and a half.
These guys
of his
are huge monsters. They can lift a freaking Chevy.
What happened to Scadabo? I mean, it happens to everybody.
Scadabo,
I mean, the league is so big, strong, and powerful now. that all these guys, if you keep putting yourself out there like that, it's inevitable.
And it's just the accumulation of injuries, right? So last year he did play in all the games, but he had the rib injury. And then this year, the knee, the hamstring, and the elbow.
He played in all the games last year on a razor's edge.
Like, yes. He probably shouldn't have been playing in all of those games.
Here's Quinn talking specifically about keeping Daniels in the game down 38-7.
Was there any consideration to not having Jaden go in for that series in which he got injured and having Marcus finish it out?
Yeah, not at the space. I mean, obviously, like the hindsight, you don't want to think that way where, you know, an injury could take place. You know, obviously we're more conservative in that spot to, you know, run and hand off and not have reads to go. But just the end result, Nicky, obviously I'm bummed.
He probably feels worse than anybody.
Oh, yeah, he was distraught. I mean, yeah. I even saw McDaniel came out on the field. He was distraught when he saw, I don't know if you saw, like, so when he was hurt, everyone huddles around immediately. They're calling for things. You know it's a disaster. Even McDaniel, you see his head, like he feels bad. Like just everyone, it's a disaster for everyone. It's a disaster for the league.
Yeah, I agree.
One of the brightest stars in the league. And we're watching him disintegrate right before our eyes. It's terrible.
Man, it's everything that could go wrong has gone
yesterday
wrong.
Yesterday was, now it's short career so far. It's the worst day of the Jaden Daniels era.
There's been quite a few of them lately.
Like,
but
how
could
you argue, like yesterday, team gets annihilated. Yeah. He goes out with a devastating elbow injury. Don't know how long he's going to be out.
The only good news
is just the floating in the water.
The only good news is he could play at a Hall of Fame level with your left arm. So that's the only good news is that it's an irrelevant injury. It's fine. Take however long it takes to get back. But it's the best case scenario.
But it's a symptom. It's a symptom, though, EB. Like, if you said right now, Jaden Daniels is going to play fill in the blank games in 2026.
I have no idea.
Nobody's going to say 17?
It'd be hard to say 17.
No, nobody would say 17.
I agree, but I agree. He's definitely fragile. He's spindly. It is what it is. But I need him to do that. I asked him to be Superman. I asked him to put on his cape. He listened. He said, EB, I'm going to do you a solid. I'm going to put on my cape. I'm going to try to do everything I can. And he got hurt. So I can't blame him. It is what it is.
By the way, he wasn't playing like Superman before that.
He was playing okay.
He was playing okay. He was fine.
He was under duress.
I understand. I understand, but
he was trying everything
he
could
do. As you said, throughout the year, tick off.
Been a tick off, but he got nobody open.
I'm not disagreeing with you there.
Our guys, our handpicked guys, aren't good enough.
Yeah, well,
Seattle was head and shoulders.
Bill can't. He can't block. They were in around. I mean,
Seattle was head and shoulders better
at pretty much
every position.
I mean, they looked like, remember how Green Bay looked like the best team you ever saw? Mm-hmm. That's what Seattle looked like last night.
Yeah. I mean, Darnold started 17 for 17. That's ridiculous.
I mean, you know how good Jackson Smith and Jigba is?
We talked about it last week.
I don't even know if he's good. I know we made him look good.
No, you don't understand.
He was good.
He's a top five receiver in the league.
He might be the best receiver in the league.
I can't be objective when they play us.
He might set records.
I can't be objective when they play us.
I get it, but he's been doing that against everybody. Okay.
This was during the break. Cake said this about Caleb Williams, that Caleb Williams still sucks. It's against Cincinnati.
And Dallas.
It's against Dallas. Yeah. I agree with that. Quarterbacks can say the same thing about playing Washington now.
Oh, absolutely. Washington is the low-hanging fruit. What do you think Detroit is going to do when they come in here next week?
Especially after losing.
What do you think the Lions are going to do to this defense next week?
Well, St. Brown's going to have 11 catches for about 40.
32-35 minimum.
Mm-hmm.
They're angry, and they need to win.
It's going
to
get ugly. Like, you thought this is ugly. It's going to get worse.
And I'm sorry, the Brotherhood doesn't have the answers.
You don't hear a lot of talk about the Brotherhood.
There's
in
no answers.
2025.
They don't know what to do.
This is
they don't have the answers.
This is pretty crazy. The Bears game last year was clearly a turning point for the team. It may have been this year, too, where the Bears, remember, the Bears lost all the rest of their games after that Hail Mary. Well, Washington, since the fumble, lost all their games since the Bears.
I guess Bears-Commanders is just like a tipping point for both teams, sadly.
All right, let's rip through some of these phone calls. A lot of people angry. Do you blame Dan Quinn for keeping Jaden on the field late in the game?
Hey, Nubbies, crank out those IJS t-shirts and beanies. It's perfect time for you to strike.
Let's go to James in D.C. James,
hot,
what's up, buddy?
Hey, James.
James, are you there?
What's up, guys?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Hey,
look, man, it was a total debacle yesterday. The season been like that ever since Terry held in or whatever they called it, man. So last year, I followed the team throughout the playoffs. I spent whatever money I had. I worked a lot of overtime just to make sure I followed them to Tampa, to Detroit, went to the NFC championship game.
Right.
Because I knew it was anomaly, man. You know what I mean? I knew
it was a one in a million, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, catch a lightning in a bottle. So I said, I got to do this because I don't know if or when we're going to get back. It's not like we're like the Eagles with it. You know what I'm saying? We just got lucky, man. And a lot of the stuff that we was getting by with last year and was masking because of Jaden Daniels and this new,
yeah,
you know, offense and everything, it's been missed. But we had problems then, you know. And so now, with everything happening, like the ball's not bouncing our way, we're getting injuries and everything, everything is showing up. Like with your car, in the wintertime when it gets cold, oh, everything's going to show up when it really gets cold.
Right.
You know, so, you know, like, and for his injury, I'm going to say, I don't even really blame Dan Quinn because you can't play scared. I blame Dan Quinn for not playing his starters during the preseason and letting them get into a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
I blame him for that. You played this preseason before he didn't let them develop cohesion, and then they came right out of the season and then people got injured. So I don't blame Dan Quinn for that. The defense is what it is. I've talked about Joe Witt enough. I'm tired of talking about that. We know what that is, right? But I blame Cliff Kingsbury. This was his problem when he was in Arizona. You bring this childish offense to the league, and then you force Jaden Daniels to keep running. You keep putting the ball in his hands to make him run. You call him design runs for him. You're putting him in harm's way, knowing he just came back from an injury.
I think that it's always going to be part of the equation. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, James.
Running is always going to be part of the equation with Jaden Daniels.
They're a run first
team. The thing which I started bringing up last week, which I've noticed, they're never under center. So why was Sam Darnold so successful? And he's a different quarterback.
They were under center,
last night.
Right. Yeah, the one time that he threw to Bates, I believe, for the first down.
He was under center multiple times.
Okay, but you're taking it literally.
Yeah.
They're almost always not under center. And if you watch most of the teams around the league, there are some quarterbacks that are exclusively in the shotgun, like Jaden Daniels. But most of the teams are under center a good portion of the game, and they can run effective play action, which neutralizes a pass rush. It's easy to like pick on Cliff this game. You know, the offense last year was one of the better offenses in the league. This year it's come down to earth, but I think at some point it would help Jaden Daniels if they had him under center more.
Well, it doesn't matter. You don't even mention Jaden Daniels anymore.
I'm not saying this season. I'm talking big picture. Big picture, I think Jaden Daniels
might not be here next year.
Jaden Daniels
might be a totally different offense.
Would benefit from being under center more.
Well,
run play actions.
That could happen with the new OC, whoever that is, next year if Cliff leaves.
By the way,
Cliff's not going to be a hot commodity anymore.
By the way,
he's going to get interviews.
Somebody's going to get fired today because a shoe has to drop and they're not going to like cut player. Somebody's going to get fired today.
A coach is going to get fired?
Not certain about
that. Or reassigned. I think it's reached that point. That's my prediction. Something's going to happen. A shoe's going to drop somewhere.
I don't know what you can do.
Do you disagree with my premise about play action?
I'm not smart enough to know. So I don't have an opinion on it.
What if Jaden isn't comfortable under center?
Just got to coach him up. I'm not saying it's this season. And I'm not saying it has to be 100% under center, but sprinkle it in. Patrick Mahomes does both. Josh Allen does both. You got to be able to be under center at times, and they very rarely are under center. And when they were under center, it was a good play, right? That third down play was a good play.
That's just not what Kingsbury runs.
And I don't know if that's the root of all their problems.
It's not the root of all their problems. Of course not. I just think big picture, it would benefit Jaden Daniels, probably his health too, to be under center at least, I don't know, 25% of the time.
I don't know. If you say so, I don't know. I'm not smart enough.
I mean, running the ball is one of his strengths.
I just don't know.
Yeah. It's one of his strengths.
Right.
So whoever comes in here probably wants to take advantage of that, whether it's Kingsbury or another OC.
And it's hard for me to blame Kingsbury when nobody's running open. I don't know. They did run for 157 yards. Now, again, that was because Jaden ran for 50 of it.
They're relying on guys like Chris Moore in the wide receiver room.
Yeah. I mean,
ton of snaps.
They don't have any world
He's not
riders.
Very good.
I mean, they got no game breakers.
They're throwing to John Bates a couple times. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of the early reads.
He had a couple catches.
There's nothing. There's nothing there. It's a complete and utter poop show.
After watching that first half, I can't believe I predicted that the Commanders were going to win that game.
Well, you just had to see one or two series with Sam Darnold just carving
up
them up
and down the field.
No resistance whatsoever.
Zero resistance.
10-minute drive.
Pass rush. Yep. I mean, that's another, like, the corners can only cover for so long. I mean, they're subpar corners to begin with, and they can only cover for so long if there's no pass rush moving Darnold off his spot.
Yeah, they didn't pressure him at all.
Telling you, I think there's... I think I think someone's getting fired. I think someone's getting fired this morning.
Could be.
It's that kind of game. I mean, someone's getting fired, or maybe a big name is being let go.
Well, they're going to be...
There's got to be some scapegoats.
They're going to be sellers.
You know what?
That is for sure the trademark.
Adam Peters is going to be on the horn.
Now it is. Yeah, you're right.
We need a skin, for lack of a better phrase. We need a...
A pelt on the wall.
Yeah.
But they're going to be sellers, possibly, but like...
A scout.
Who do you want? Who do you want off this roster, to be honest? I mean, honestly.
Well, like you said, someone would take Payne.
Maybe somebody would take Debo.
Somebody might want to know.
Somebody would take Debo.
Maybe. Look, it's probably a low round, like a sixth or seventh round pick, but you might be able to sell off Noah Eye for a team that needs a corner or Daron Payne.
Like I said, I think I said this Friday, anybody not named Jaden Daniels, we're open for business. Yeah. We will listen. We may not do the deal, but we'll certainly listen.
This All team right. is not, Jaden deserves so much better.
Oh,
he deserves so much better.
The lines are locked and loaded. We'll get back to your calls next on a Misery Monday, presented by Chenega Mios, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careers with MIOS.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirty is Morgan. Good move by Daniels to get away from the first hit, but even better play by Drake Thomas to stay with the elusive Washington quarterback who's hurt. Jaden Daniels down. In some pain. So Daniels going down right away in this really injury-plagued, nothing going right season for Washington takes another awful turn.
Mike Tirico last night, 7 minutes and 29 seconds left in the fourth quarter. I'll start with this. I like Dan Quinn. I like him a lot. He made a big mistake last night, a big one, leaving Jaden Daniels in that game, in that moment. It was head coaching malpractice, period. That isn't me second guessing. That was my first guessing. And it probably was for most of you who were watching the game last night. It was that obvious. Good morning. If you missed it, Dan Quinn was asked about it after the game, and you'll hear what he said coming up here in a few minutes. He was asked about leaving Jaden in the game three or four times in his post-game press conference. As far as the injury goes, it appears as if it is a dislocated elbow to his non-throwing arm. We'll know more later today, I would assume. But some of the reporting out there, dislocated elbow, it'll be time. I don't know if it's season ending at this point. The final score was 38-14 Seattle, a final score that was nowhere near reflective of how bad Washington got destroyed last night. But the outcome of the game is actually not the headline from this one, although it's certainly close to it, and we will get to my game take and everything about the woeful performance last night against the Seahawks. But Jaden's the headline. So he was injured with 7 minutes and 29 seconds left in the game in the fourth quarter. The injury came in the closing minutes of what at that point in time had been a universal beatdown with the score at 38-7. Translation, the game's outcome had already been determined, okay, actually long before the 7 minute and 29 second mark. No team in the history of the league has ever come from 31 points down in the final 7.5 minutes of a football game to win in the history of the league. Just to be clear, like I said, this is not a hindsight. This is not a second guess for me. You can check my tweet, and I guarantee you many others. I'm not trying to be the only guy that tweeted out there. Anybody that was watching this probably felt the same thing, whether or not they tweeted it out or not. I don't know. I didn't follow everybody, but many people responded to my tweet at the beginning of the fourth quarter with exactly what I was thinking. Of course it was. I tweeted out at the beginning of the fourth quarter, quote, sit JD, 55% pressure rate, and called up JV receivers. Call it a night. Calling for the starting quarterback to take a seat in the game that's already been determined in terms of winners, losers, is not usually my go-to. Some of you reached out to say, this is a new one for you, Sheehan. What happened to Mr. Competitive, Kevin? It's true. I've probably done it before, but my default typically is I'm okay with the competitive nature of these coaches, these players. Go ahead, finish it out. You know, compete till the end. But not last night. Not in that game. Not in that moment. And to me, the reasons were overwhelming to feel that way. There was a mountain of evidence that just screamed out, get him out of the blanking game. There is no upside to keeping him out there. Not tonight anyway. Why? Well, number one, in case you weren't paying attention the last few weeks, he came into this game off of an injury and missing last Monday night's game against the Chiefs. The second injury already of this season. This one was a hamstring injury, a soft tissue injury, and he had made it through three quarters healthy last night. Why have him out there for what amounted to be, in the fourth quarter, preseason football? You know, Seattle was starting to pull some of their starters, putting backups into the game. The score, the time, the recent injuries made it seem like a total no-brainer. Secondly, this was a game last night that was high risk for Jaden Daniels from the jump. Through three quarters, he was pressured at a 55% rate, the most of his career, according to the broadcast last night, which was one of the reasons he was constantly on the run all night long. You know, he was on the run not only because of the pressure, but because the supporting cast that they had out on the field, it just wasn't good enough. They couldn't get open. They had Debo out there, but obviously they didn't have Terry. And then they lost Luke McCaffrey on the opening kickoff. By the way, his injury, season-ending, broken collarbone to IR. I guess season-ending, more likely season-ending. That was reported this morning. So the receiving core was inadequate. The pressure was nonstop. And at that point, through three quarters, They didn't have much of a running game to take the pressure off him. It's not like they really went to the running game in the quick game. More on that coming up with the Cliff plan last night. He was the running game. And that leads to this. Next reason it was so obvious. Through three quarters, he was already running too much and taking too many hits. Sacks, running too much, keeping him in the game and dropping him back to throw was going to lead to more running, more risk, more potential for sacks. This was not a game in which, like, the drop back was going well. Like, you know, he's throwing cleanly, they're getting chunks of yards. Even when he did have time, with the exception of maybe two or three plays, nobody was really that open. So it forced him to try to make a play with his legs. And if he didn't, he had to eat it. You know, keeping him out there in that game was a higher risk situation than a lot of games. You know, partly because, let's be fair here. I talked about this on Friday. Seattle's really good. They are really, really good. But this wasn't, you know, a 49-31 game where, you know, both teams are lighting it up, but Seattle's just better and our defense is just much worse than their defense or whatever. And, you know, he's got 350 yards and there are probably another 150 yards and let's keep him out there because there's really not much risk. They're not, you know, no. He was at risk all night long. It was a struggle. There was nobody out there that could legitimately kind of help him. You know, he was out there exposed for three quarters of the game. You know, maybe some of that was on him. Most of it wasn't. Why another quarter of that? It's just incredible to me. It seemed so obvious that the risk was not worth the reward, down by 31 points. The game's outcome had long been determined. He had been injured recently, which should have led everybody to be in a more protective environment, a more protective posture when the game got out of hand like this one was. The Seahawks are teeing off on him, putting him at risk on almost every called pass play, even quick game. You know, they went to more quick game late, but even the quick game, the pressure was right there. He took some of the highest pressure rates he's ever taken in a football game that he's played in at the professional level, according to Next Gen. And again, the most important thing is he came in injured and the game is over. He's had two injuries. It's preseason football in the fourth quarter. What are you doing? It was way over. Again, man, I really like Dan Quinn so much. But you can't sugarcoat this one. The decision to keep Jaden Daniels, your franchise quarterback, in that game, that late into the game, was a mistake, period. A big mistake. This was not a playoff game. This wasn't a doable comeback. The odds were probably off the board in the fourth quarter in terms of Washington's, you know, odds of winning. The game was way over. And they put him out there. They dropped him back two or three times on the final drive that he went in there for. Yeah, there was some quick game. There was more running the football. And I think the play he got hurt on was an RPO. An RPO is a run-pass option, not a read option, where it's either the run to the running back or him running, but it's he pulls it and he's supposed to throw it, but the pressure was so quick, as it had been, and I don't know, but on that final drive, two to three dropbacks. You know, people make mistakes. Coaches make mistakes. You're not going to get me to call for anybody's job over this. I mean, I've already been in it with a few of you and a few of my friends from late last night to early this morning. Like, that's it. Got to fire Quinn. Got to fire Peters. Hey, guys, 10 months ago, 9.5 months ago, they had us 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl. This season has been decimated by injuries. Sure, you want a different offseason plan? We can debate that. firing these two? Are you guys out of your mind? Are you out of your skull? Do you know what they did last year? You're not going to give them more time? Wow. It was a mistake, though, last night. Dan Quinn made a mistake last night. You know, Tommy's favorite saying is, sometimes the juice ain't worth the squeeze. And last night seemed obvious to anyone watching that the juice was not worth the squeeze to have him in the game. It seemed so obvious to everybody except for one person, the person that needed it to be obvious, the head coach. I love Dan Quinn. I don't want Dan Quinn to go anywhere. I think they've got some big decisions coming in the offseason as it relates to the defense. But Dan Quinn's and Adam Peters have built something here in the beginning of something, and they've got a foundation. They have been ravaged by injury. Ravaged. That is still the number one reason that they are 3-6. Number one. Now, we can debate as to what they would have been had they been a healthy team. That's fair. And it's very clear that even if they had been healthy on defense this year and hadn't lost all the key pieces they've lost, it was not going to be a good defense. And because they were playing a tougher schedule, tougher quarterbacks, it was going to be harder to overcome it as much as they did last year. I'll concede that. The game itself last night was such an embarrassment long before the injury. It was an absolute disaster. You know, and again, let me just mention this for the second or third time. Wow, Seattle is an excellent football team. They are excellent all around. I talked about this on Friday's show. I said, this is a bad matchup. I said, I think they're a Super Bowl contender after watching a few of their games. This was not a good matchup coming in, but Washington never, ever gave themselves a chance in this one. Penalties, drops, turnovers. They probably don't beat Seattle if they play a perfect game. But they had no shot of even keeping it close or respectable with as many times as they battered themselves over their own heads with 2x4s. The penalties on the first three drives of the game on offense, devastating. We know that they can't stop anybody. We know that right now they probably are the worst defensive team in the league. Cincinnati and Dallas are close. I'd give the nod to Washington. They're horrendous. Horrendous. I saw something. A friend of mine sent me something that Mitch Tischler tweeted out, and I loved it. Hold on. Where is it? Mitch Tischler from, you know, Monumental. Mitch tweeted out, after the first half, I guess, Commanders over the last four quarters, so the two quarters, second half against the Chiefs and the first half against Seattle, they've allowed the defense 7 touchdowns, 1 field goal, 601 total yards, 1 punt, 1 kneel down, and had been outscored 52-7. Yeah, they are an absolute mess on defense. We've seen this coming for several weeks. But offensively, they never gave themselves an opportunity because they kept bashing themselves in the head with a brick. You can't do that in a game. We talked about this going back to really the Dallas game. It's like there's no margin for error offensively. Your defense is terrible. The other team's going to move the football, and they're going to score. You have to match it, and you can't match it with penalties, drops, turnovers. Can't do it. And they have not been able to steer clear of all of that. All right. I've got a game take, you know, what I like, didn't like, and some other observations. I will start with this. My number one observation, I really like the uniforms. I loved them. Made me feel like I was watching my team, even with the helmets not having the original logo. That would have been better, obviously. But it looked like my team. I felt like it. But unfortunately, the game never felt like a game. That's what sucked about last night. Two other opportunities to wear those against Denver. That should be fun. On Sunday night, Thanksgiving weekend, and then on Christmas Day. Is there any way we can get flexed out of the Christmas Day game, Max?
Unfortunately,
I don't think
no.
Yeah, there you can't. It's too bad. I would love for them to flex us out of the Christmas Day game.
Awesome.
Now, the Sunday night game they could get flexed out of, but I think because it's Thanksgiving weekend, I don't know if they're going to flex that particular. Sometimes those holiday weekends, they leave the schedule as is. Now, and plus, Denver's in the game, and Denver's very good. So they'll probably leave Washington in that Sunday night Thanksgiving Day spot. I'm looking to see what other Sunday games there are. Wow. Buffalo at Pittsburgh, but that's a CBS doubleheader game. Yeah, it's going to stay where it is. They're going to play that one. They're going to play Philly on that Saturday, December 20th, which is just a few days after Thanksgiving. Now, Green Bay plays at Chicago. That might be the night game. Maybe they'll push Washington and Philly to the middle of the day on December 20th. All right. My game take next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Finley 106.7 The Fam. You can watch us on Monumental Sports Network. You can stream with us on YouTube. YouTube chat is popping.
Is it?
Jeff and White Brian, send me some highlights from the YouTube chat. I'm sure they're plentiful.
I will pull it up.
I'd like to get David Aldridge on the program tomorrow, fellas. DA, I've often mentioned how sitting in press boxes with DA is a real like joy of my career. I mean, that dude has accomplished so much, but is still such a locked-in, great reporter. And he asked a question last night in the postgame of Dan Quinn. I was kind of running around. I didn't get to ask a question because I had to be live because the game was on NBC. Like, I was live for most of the hour after the game, but I did carve out some time to go hear from DQ. And DA said, like, hey, coach, I mean this with all due respect. You guys have to do more to support Jaden. And I think you can't plan on the injuries, and the Terry injury has really submarined things in a lot of ways. But, I was listening to Doc and Toby driving home last night, and they had some callers. Because you think about what time of night it is for you to be calling into the radio. Yeah. You've probably been sipping a little bit.
You twist it. Say it like that.
But one dude was like, where's the hammer? They need an identity. And in the back of my head, I'm like, I know he's not a stud, but maybe Brian Robinson would help this team. Who knows, right? There's so many questions from a personnel decision-making standpoint. But in no way, and I think if anybody blames Jaden for running around in that moment, I just think you're an idiot. He's going to play his game, regardless what the score is. It's up to coaches to protect him, to not be on the field. And DA, understandably, could not comprehend why Jaden Daniels is on the field late in that game down 31 points. And I think it's a really fair question, man. And I think it's, in a lot of ways, I don't want to say unfortunately, because the discussion points from that game would have been terrible anyway. Because the offense could do nothing. They have nothing. You were on some great teams, some good teams, some bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
When an offense has nothing they can lean on. Have you noticed that? Last year.
Like we said, that was, we don't know what the identity is.
There, what, last year, if you had, if you had a short yardage situation, I knew what they were going to do. They had that little QB draw where the center and the opposite guard pulled to the right. And if you needed two, Jaden gets you four. If you needed four, Jaden gets you six. Like, they could lean on that play out of shotgun, and it worked. And then what Jaden was able to do with Terry and what Jaden was able to do with Ertz on third down, red zone stuff, like, that, you had stuff you knew they could run because you knew it could work.
Yep.
This year, what the hell do they have offensively that you know?
It doesn't seem like anything. Because I think, what is it, Dan said it maybe 2 weeks ago about them not knowing their identity. And I think at this point, that should be established. And I don't know what it is, man. It's like everyone, and this is nothing against Bill, but wasn't everybody calling for just Bill? And I kept saying, run all of them. And whoever gets a hot hand, stick with them. We've seen McNichols have games. We've seen Rodriguez have games. I think I need to see people like last year, it was more or less, they went out, they did what they knew they could do. They didn't care about what nothing was outside. This year, for some reason, it seems like people are listening to what people want from the outside. I'm being honest. Like, we'll go from one guy playing to the next week, he don't see it. You got to just go play football and do what you need to do and not worry about what people are saying and thinking.
There's nothing. All right, so I asked for the YouTube comments. White Brian got me some. Jason Proctor says, Adam Peters on the hot seat for this dog water roster. Robert Wagner says, can the National Guard play defense for this team? They're in town. Maybe they're available. I saw this hater last night from Seattle holding up a sign. What Washington does, shutdowns and losses. And I was like, man, I hate that guy. But you know what? Sadly, he was proven correct by the end of the game.
He lives in Seattle, Washington, though. You got to realize they got more drugs going on in there than they do here. So what the hell he's talking about?
What? The decision to not pull Jaden late in a blowout is going to be the absolute headliner, right? And it should be, because he's by far the most important player on the team. I don't think he should have been out there, period. I don't know if you land there with me or you think it's more hindsight.
I think it's a lot of hindsight. We've seen too many games finish just like that and nobody get hurt. But I understand the mindset. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can understand why people say it, but after playing it so many years, hell, I was in situations like that and playing quarterback in college. I was in league games like that. I watched other quarterbacks in the same position and they didn't get hurt. You know, it's just, like I said, you watch how he was thrown and he just went to brace himself and boom. That was freak. And ain't nothing nobody can really do about it. But I guess you could say this, for those people that want to say it, if he was not in there 100%, he wouldn't have been hurt. But just because he's there don't automatically mean it's going to happen either.
Beyond the Jaden situation, which is hard to bridge that chasm, right? Because the Jaden situation is massive. What was worse, the offense or the defense? It's got to be the defense, but the offense was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, we say the defense because the points just pile up, but we knew last year the success we had on this team was the offense would go out there, have these long, sustained drives, and get touchdowns at the end. Defense came out fresher. This year, you don't get that. A touchdown scored, defense goes to the sideline. Special teams give it back to them, or the offense have a quick drive and they're right back on the field.
Even last night, they tried to switch it up. They took the ball, right?
Yeah.
They've been deferring every time they win the toss. Last night, they said, no, we want the ball. We're going to try to change things up.
Mm-hmm.
They get a first down on the first drive. Then there's that Biotish penalty on the first down of the next series. And you can argue if that was a bad penalty or not. I thought, if anything, it was a clip, not a blindside block. They looked shoulder to shoulder to me, but
I don't know what football is halftime.
It's so far from relevant at this point.
I watch people get hit in the chest and just, like, not very hard. They throw a flag. I watch other guys get decapitated and they don't call flags. I don't know what football is.
But they run six plays, then have to punt. Of those six plays, zero were carries to running backs. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jaden ran a couple times. Those were scrambles. Those were not designed quarterback runs. He was under pressure all night.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, the numbers will bear that out. He was under pressure on more than half of his dropbacks.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting killed all night. I think it's kind of obvious that Jaden doesn't have a ton of trust in his pass-catching weapons at times, but he's also just running for his freaking life.
Mm-hmm. When you take off and you run, you're not necessarily going to be looking down the field all the time, especially if it happens all the time. You will do that early on in games, but as it goes on, if you notice that there's no blocking, no separation, I got to just get yours if I can. And his legs and C-Rod legs seem to be helping some. You got to figure it out, man. I just don't want this thing to get to a situation like I used to look at Michael Vick, in a sense, where he was so talented that it was like, if everything breaks down, make something happen. I don't want that to ever become what it is with him.
And you wonder.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. It's just such a disaster. I wonder how Kingsbury feels. I mean, remember when it was a foregone conclusion Cliff would get a job this cycle?
Mm-hmm.
Is that still a foregone conclusion?
Don't know.
And I'm not saying it isn't, but I mean, offensively, it's not good. And it wasn't good with Jaden. The stats are kind of skewed, but I mean, I don't know defensively that there's anything you can do. We talk about Washington's offense has nothing that looks easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing they can rely on.
Yeah.
Seattle at one point had a 1st-and-25, 2nd-and-12, turned into 2nd-and-17 and still converted.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle in short yardage situations was lining up in empty with five wide because they couldn't have been less concerned about pressure.
Yeah.
And they knew, singled up, they might have the best receiver in football. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is the real deal.
He's good. Yeah.
But it wasn't just Njigba that was killing people.
Oh, it was everybody.
Torrey Horton last night, 4 for 48 with 2 touchdowns. But they knew 3rd-and-6, we'll run Njigba on a slant, it'll get us 12. Like, they had something they could rely on.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
And Washington doesn't have that. And that is an indictment on the front office, on the offense, on the players. Like, that is a soup to nuts problem.
Totally.
I don't know what these answers are. It's just remarkable how fast this thing has turned.
It was quick.
I was watching.
And look, the thing for me, Jay, you know, I've always discussed, when you see a team go through a year, not many injuries, they're coming. I didn't expect them to be coming like this.
No.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the injuries are significant. Nicky Jabala just tweeted out a post of the injury games missed, and it's already surpassing all of last year, I believe, mm-hmm. and it certainly will by the time you get to the end of the year and you add up Wise and Eckler, and like these guys are going to miss significant time. Whew, buddy. Santana Moss joins us at 11. Phone lines open at 11:30. The phone lines are not going to be in a happy place.
Oh, we know that.
If you're not in a happy place in your home, maybe you're looking for a new place, you got to call our friend John Leahy. Right. John Leahy does sell the DMV, and he does it better than anybody.
Just like a recent seller, they reached out to John because they wanted to get their house sold, and they got an offer that was $20,000 over the asking price. There was no stress and no setbacks. They had recently been told by another agent that they wouldn't be able to make any money. But that all ended up being an absolute lie and a farce because when John went in, John got them exactly what they wanted and more. We're talking about our good friend John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. You can go to johnsellsdmv.com and find out what your home's value is in mere seconds. John offers you flexible fees customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. And if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
Keep this in mind. John has a deep bench of buyers in waiting. More than 10,000 buyers ready to rock. He could have your home sold before you even realize it. And if you need a little bit of cash to fix things up before you list it, talk to John. He could front you up to $50,000 to make repairs and upgrades, making your home irresistible to buyers and getting you more cash. And you just settle up with John on the back end at closing. Call him today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com. Or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
Good Monday morning, afternoon, evening, whatever this is. It's all just one cloud of disappointment today. It doesn't feel like we're making our way through this day with a whole lot of efficiency. The Commanders last night in Landover at Northwest Stadium, we're down 28 to nothing. They lose 38 to 14. Danny, it's three straight losses by 21 or more points, something that hadn't happened around these parts in 21 years, hadn't happened in the NFL since 2020. And yet the biggest story is not the defense getting shredded again. It's not the offense being broken. The fact that Jaden Daniels was pressured on half of his dropbacks and had to run around all night because there was nothing else going offensively. The story is that Daniels, again, suffers an injury, and this time it's a serious one, that elbow dislocation. We now await word on exactly what's going on. You're going to hear from Dan Quinn. We rarely take his press conference live on the show. We're going to do that today right at 3:30 in 90 minutes. So make sure you're listening at that time for DQ so that we can get the latest on Daniels. But that is the story. The face of the franchise, the answer at quarterback, is hurt. And this time, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a couple weeks with a knee or with a hamstring. This looks way more serious.
For an attempt to go down by 24, I suppose, right? Toby's doing updates today, right? Toby's on updates. Is the breaking news sounder working? It better be. That every second there isn't breaking news that somebody has been removed, that somebody has been demoted, that somebody has had a responsibility taken away from them is a slap in the face to this fan base. They're not giving you any of your money back. The prices are the prices. The credit card charge went through for your season tickets, for your concessions last night at that game. I feel terrible for everybody that went to that ridiculous display. I feel horrible. Every second that they tell us that they're going to fix it, we'll improve communication. Is it simple enough yet? Did we get it simplified? Is it cleaned up? Are we good to go? Can we get timeouts right? Note all that crap. Every second that they tell you there's no major change is a slap in the face. Just take them. Take these slaps in the face, fans. Unbelievable how bad this is. Real quick, and I'll tag you back in. You mentioned it right there. They lose by more than 20 points three straight weeks. The teams they're going to pick 1 and 2 in this draft, don't do that.
Well, no, nobody has
nobody does that
in the NFL but them this year and has done it over the last 4 years. The 2020 Jaguars are the last team. All of the bad years, the Shanahan charade at the end, you know, Jay Gruden's rock bottom before he got fired. You name an embarrassing time, the swinging gate or the Bruce Allen era or the Scott McLuhan debacle, like whatever it was, this has not happened. Where they have, on three consecutive games, been beaten by 21 or more points. Last night it was 24, thanks to a garbage time touchdown, just over 7 minutes remaining when they were down 31, as you pointed out. But yeah, it's hard to lose by 20-plus in this league, let alone twice in a row, let alone three times in a row. It's why it's been a quarter century. It's the first month, September, of the Marty Schottenheimer era when they started 0-5, the last time it happened. But what's really hard is to find something redeemable about that game last night. Like, if you look really hard, you could see that Chris Rodriguez averaged 5 yards a carry, scored a touchdown, ran hard. That Jordan McGee, bringing some speed to the second level at linebacker, had some decent football plays. That Jeremy Reeves flies around and he's physical. but they're very fleeting, small, little, tiny micro things. On the macro, your special teams with the best kick returner in the league breaks his collarbone on the opening return of the game. And then the guy that replaced him, and I'm going to give you a couple of weeks off before I tell you again how much I like Jalen Lane and what a good football player he is. That was tough last night as he fumbled a kick return. So special teams hurt you there. On defense, I'm now of the belief that they can't fix this. This is so irreparably broken. They are so damaged beyond repair. I've been saying they have no answers. They will find no answers. There are no answers to be had.
I agree with you.
It's just a matter of, will a team fumble a football because you punched the ball out? Or will Travis Kelce accidentally have a ball go off his hand so you get a pick so that you extend 10, 15, 20 game minutes before they get their next opportunity in the red zone? Will someone drop a pass? That's kind of what you're hoping at this point. But offensively, this is the part that I can't quite figure out. I thought last night, so pass protection was brutal. PFF had him for 12 pressures. I thought it was more than that. Next Gen Stats said Daniels at the highest rate of his career was pressured on 50% of dropbacks, 60% in the second half. He was running for his life at points last night. And on the final play where he got hurt, it's an RPO where he's either going to hand it off or throw it. Dan Quinn, essentially after the game, said there's no reason he should have been running, except that the moment he got to the back of his drop, there was pressure. Now, for a moment, if you look in the end zone, Deebo Samuel's open, he can make the throw. But that's a tough ask. Would have been a great football play to reset. He's getting to the back of his drop, and there's a free rusher, free, completely unblocked, who's now forcing Daniels up to run when Dan Quinn said there was no business for him to run. Well, those two things don't work for me in unison. But they can't run the football right now. It's been a month since they've been able to run the football, by the way. They can't get anything going in the passing game, especially to someone not named Deebo Samuel for anything after the catch. And I don't know how we got here so quickly with Cliff, who was ascending as one of the great offensive minds in the league, head coaching candidate, to a month now where it's like, their pass protection idea isn't great. They don't have any real answers in the passing game to get guys open. He's not scheming anybody free. Last night it was, is Daniels going to run for a few yards here to get him ahead of the sticks, or is it going to be third and long in a couple plays? That's what it felt like.
Yeah. You could see it. A couple of running lanes were open for him, talking about Daniels, because no one's open, but defenders have their back turned so we could scamper for a handful of yards. They got enough speed where they could close on you. They're easy to defend. There's no threat. I think that's the alpha and the omega of it. Now, individually, there are moments like Zach Ertz can't remember the damn snap count. He can't remember the snap count. At least you're slow and drop passes. At least you miss blocks here and there. He can't remember the snap count. Twice. Two different times. A little, let's inch forward our version of the tush push. Nope. Old trippy 86 can't keep his balance because he's old. Remember the snap count, please. Start there. Injuries has a lot to do with a lot. Zach Ertz is the guy you're counting on. Remember the snap count. Remember the snap count. Remember the snap count. Seven-year-olds are doing that. We got a big championship game this weekend. The Ravens and the Steelers, the rivalry matchup. They'll remember the snap count. We usually just go on one to keep it simple for them. Maybe we got to simplify that for you, too. But back to your point. I just think there's no threat. Nobody scares you. Deebo is awesome when he's healthy, when he's right. I don't know that he is right now, but even if he was, we wouldn't notice because there's a swarm around him. He's not a downfield threat. There isn't one. Everybody knows it. Whether they can't block it up, can't trust Jalen Lane to do it, or can't trust anybody to run the routes that are required, they aren't going deep. There's no bluff. There's no, we'll do it. We'll turn this car around. They can't turn the car around. And everybody knows it. So crappy defenses. See Chicago. Abominable on defense. Terrible defense. Terrible. Shoves it on them. Dallas, even worse, shoves it on them. They can't threaten anybody, and the word is out. It's like a pitcher tipping pitches, and everybody knows. I'm not saying that they've got the signals. They probably do the exact same if other teams did have the signals, to be honest with you. It's like they're playing Super Tecmo Bowl, and your opponent's cheating by looking at your Nintendo controller, where they've got the play guest. There's no room to do anything for anyone. Every millimeter is a rock fight. Every inch forward is the hardest inch in the history of mankind. They are rudderless, they are hopeless, and I renew my call. I want that breaking news sounder any second. Something!
Somebody change something and make a big announcement about it. Show me that you give a bleep. Fire someone. I don't care. The person that hydrates people, send them packing. The person that chopped up the film, the person that labels the tape, the person that keeps your coffee hot or cold, or that fetches your espresso. Remove someone from play calling duties. Bench someone. A change. Do something. Otherwise, you're telling me, it's fine. It's fine. And it's not.
I can't believe how easy it was for Jaxon Smith-Njigba last night. And for Sam Darnold, for that
really?
Matter.
Yeah, Darnold.
He did not throw an incompletion in the first half. He ended up 21 of 24 for 330 and 4. So he had more touchdown passes, 4, than he had incompletions, 3, in the entire ballgame. He only had one really bad play, which was the interception he threw to Sanristil, where Mikey's actually kind of trailing in coverage behind the guy. And it just so happened Darnold couldn't set his feet and kind of throws off balance.
Yeah, that was I'm feeling myself a little bit. Let me go ahead and try to fit this in there. Terrible throw.
He throws it right to Sanristil, who's got 3 of the 5 interceptions this year. So good for Mikey to turn them over. Except the gift. They don't accept the gift enough. They did that time, so I'll give them credit there. But there is this school of thought in talking to some people. Logan Paulson on Take Command, some other folks that I bounce things off of that know more ball than me. About you play a guy like JSN, who has had at least 70 yards in every game, who is, other than one game this year, had over 90 yards, who's leading the NFL in receiving yards for good reason coming into this game. And there's this thought that, well, he's going to get his. There's not a whole lot you could do about it. And to some extent, I'm okay with that, but it can't be as easy as it was last night, which was 7 grabs for 119 yards before halftime. And if it's a real football game where you're not up 31-7 and you're not taking your foot off the gas pedal in the middle of the third quarter and basically not trying at all in the fourth quarter because Mike McDonald's a respectable man, I don't know if Dan Campbell will be with the Detroit Lions coming to town this weekend, who you whooped up on. Jaden playing his butt off, the offense lighting him up in the playoffs in January. Remember that game? How fun that was?
Oh, yeah.
As Washington got to the NFC Championship
game. They do too, by the way.
They're coming off of a loss. They're angry, and now they're coming here for vengeance. But luckily, the Seahawks took some pity. They didn't try to embarrass you in the fourth quarter. They could have hung 50 on national TV. By the way, Mr. Rouye, they would have been, at that point, further embarrassed. They're 0-4 on primetime this year. I don't even know if they're going to get the Sunday Nighter against Denver.
They should have it taken away.
At home in a month. They might get flexed out of that. But the Thursday Nighter against the Packers, yuck. The Monday Nighter against Kansas City, whoops. This one, terrible. They've been blown out 3 times in primetime. The game that was close was the Bears game, which was the most excruciating loss of the season. So I'm good for the rest of the season as far as playing at night goes. But at least they have 2 more standalone games coming up in short order here with the Broncos on Sunday Night Football and the Madrid game.
Let's put that one at like 5 a.m.
And for our poor listeners who spent thousands of dollars for flights and hotels and tickets to that game, you're still going to have a hell of a trip. You're still going to be able to have a nice vacation and celebrate that. But I feel awful for people who thought they were going over there to see, you know, a 7-3 Washington team or whatever they were anticipating when they bought those tickets. One of the best teams in the conference coming off the NFC title game with Daniels healthy and playing as the, you know, face of the outfit. Now you got Marcus Mariota leading a maybe 3-7 Washington team into that game with Madrid in a couple of weeks. It's just so different than anyone could have anticipated. But I guess back to the larger point, I don't even know what I'm most annoyed about today. I think it was how awesome everything was until kickoff. I got to say, as someone who was at the game, and as someone, I say this all the time, my wife goes to games, not as many as we used to because we have kids now. So this was her first of the year. We paid for season tickets all year long. She got to go to her first game. In-laws come, watch the kids. She gets to go. And she is fired up watching the light show. She can't believe that all of a sudden Northwest Stadium's like a real stadium. They bring in a guy from the Vikings. They bring in someone from the Falcons. They bring in someone from this organization. And Danny, I know you'll never go to the stadium, but I mean this when I tell you it was incredible.
I believe it.
Before the kickoff last night. The light show and the graphics on the field and the video they did and this rebrand with the spear and this, I mean, it's a little bit like the Vegas hockey team that you hated where they do this big show on the board and they've got this backstory and it's all going to, you know, culminate probably with whatever their new stadium is from this like Greco-Roman kind of back theme, you know, home base for the Commanders or whatever. The place
was absolutely bouncing. We've been to Cincinnati last year on primetime. We've been to Kansas City. This felt like it belonged. The social team crushes it all week. The uniforms, which we'll never even get to talk about today, looked amazing. Yep. They looked so good. That's all I want to talk about. The thing I grew up caring about and loving when I was a diehard fan of this team, asking for Redskins stuff from when I was 7 years old to when I was 15 years old for Christmas. That's all I ever wanted. They looked like that team for the first time since 2-2-22. And then the game started, and it felt like the Monday Night Massacre against the Eagles. It was that embarrassing as they were down 28-0. At one point, they gave up two touchdowns in 15 seconds after the touchdown, fumbled kickoff, first play touchdown. It was actually 11 seconds apart.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.